from Redeemer Broadcasting. This is Holding All Things Together for this Independence Day. I'm Dan Elmendorf.
And I'm Calvin Carter. Today we present a short human interest piece. A friend in South Africa shares some of the details of his son's life. At birth, the doctors gave no chance of survival for son Christopher, as he was born with total kidney failure. Yet, by God's grace, and in response to fervent prayers, one half of one kidney began functioning. Young Christopher was regularly in and out of hospital and went through an incredible number of anesthetics and operations in his first few years of life. With time, his mother donated a kidney to save Christopher's life. By God's grace, Christopher overcame all odds to become fit and healthy enough to climb mountains and earn his black belt, second Dan, in karate, and to earn national colors to represent South Africa overseas in international events, including in the United States, Germany, and Switzerland, returning to South Africa with bronze and silver medals. The family homeschooled their children. Christopher was married recently. His mother has passed on to heaven, and with a framed picture of Mom Lenora on the seat next to our guest, and a candle in loving memory of the mother who donated her kidney to save Christopher's life, we talk with his dad, our friend, Dr. Peter Hammond.
Well, by God's grace, in response to fervent prayers, and Christopher was probably one of the most prayed for babies in his first month, one of his kidneys later recovered some function, with only half of one kidney functioning, but that was enough for him to survive. So from the doctors, no chance of survival, it came to, well, he's not going to live very long. And I particularly remember them saying, he'll never be able to get married. And there was, my wife was distraught, as you can imagine. We wept and prayed more over Christopher than all our other children combined. And Chris was regularly in and out of hospital, went through incredible amounts of anesthetics and operations in his first few years of life. And by God's grace, Lenora later donated her kidney to him in a kidney transplant.
Also ahead, Pastor Bill Shisko discusses the 250th anniversary of America. Though far from perfect, our nation's beginning was nevertheless informed by the Christian faith. Later in the program, writer Jerry Wiss reviews some of our nation's history. Man's liberty is circumscribed by law. The question is, whose law? Finally, we'll take another look at this week in history. All this just ahead on Holding All Things Together.
This is the 250th anniversary of the practical birth of the United States of America on July 4th, 1776, and we ought to take some time to reflect on that. We begin, I must say, with lament. No nation is perfect, friends. Chattel slavery, treating people as property, the treatment of Indians under the name of manifest destiny, these are blights on our history. But again, no nation is perfect. This should be really a time of thanks. And this is not even a nation that it publicly acknowledges Christ as king, which a Christian nation would do. But it was a nation informed explicitly and implicitly by the Christian faith. Just some examples. Freedom in the outworking of the dynamic unleashing of the concept of freedom in the Protestant Reformation. What do we have in the United States of America? Freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom to own property. For the industry that came out of all of this, and even the right to bear arms, the right to defend ourselves, All of these things grew out of the freedom that is embedded in our documents that form this country. We're a constitutional republic, a government of law with representation on every level in what we call federalism. And thanking the Lord, there's no nation that has been of such assistance to others in generosity. World War II, in fighting against the evil of Nazism, having immigration with standards in our nation, and missions. No nation has supported missions like this. So what do we do on this day? Repentance, certainly. Freedom has been turned to license. Praying, as we ought to do, for revival, for a revival of the fear of God in our land, and for regeneration, for God to convert people, especially beginning with our leaders. O Lord, we pray, grant our nation repentance, grant it revival, and bring new birth into our land to the glory of your saving name. Amen.
On the Zoom line with us today is Dr. Peter Hammond, our friend from South Africa. And Peter, welcome.
Thank you, Dan.
The other day you sent a note, and it caught my eye because it talked about a wedding that you had in your household that affected you guys, obviously, of your son. So could you share with our listeners? This is like a human interest story today, so please share with our listeners that story.
Yes, it's quite a lot of drama around it. So my wife and I, Lenora, we had four children, two daughters and two sons, and the two daughters were older, they firstborns. And so I've already gone through two weddings in the family, my two daughters, and of course those are the father's responsibility. And that was quite a big major operation, and even trusting Lord for the ability to be able to pay for and host weddings for my daughters. But those were magnificent. And now it comes to my first of my sons getting married. And so the 15th of June, which is this last Monday, was a very emotional day for us, as Christopher married Krizon from a lovely Christian family from the Transvaal, meaning Krizon comes from an Afrikaans family. They come back, they go back many centuries ago that the Meibergs first came to South Africa. So my son's marrying into a strongly Afrikaans family of originally Dutch roots. And it seems that all the women these days want to have outdoor weddings in vineyards, certainly in the Cape, that seems to be the way.
Oh, yeah.
And while my wife and I were married in a small chapel, each of my children now so far have been married in outdoor weddings. Well, outdoor weddings in the middle of our rainy season is a bit of a risk.
I think so.
We had intense rain the day before, and this is right in the middle of our winter, and we have wet winters in the Cape. So despite the intense rain the day before, it was a perfect sunshine-filled day on the 15th on Monday. And so this outdoor wedding venue, which was overlooking a lake in a vineyard near Paarl, which is a beautiful part of the Cape of Good Hope, which is really a lot of vineyards. It was, of course, very emotional because my wife couldn't be present.
That's right, yeah.
But we had a framed picture of Lenora on the seat next to me with a candle in loving memory of her, because she donated her kidney to save Christopher's life. So at birth, the doctors gave my son no chance for survival.
No chance.
He was born with total kidney failure, no kidney function whatsoever. And they diagnosed this in utero, so he was born 5 weeks early by C-section, cesarean section, and he spent his first 5 weeks on earth in an ICU, which, you know, it's quite distressing for a mother to come home without her baby.
Yeah.
And, of course, we were visiting daily and so on, and my mother, who was a nurse, and my mother-in-law, who is also a nurse, they inspired a totally new policy at the hospital where they were born, Constantinberg, where they used to have family-only signs for the ICU. Mm-hmm. And then they came up with two new signs saying, no grandparents allowed. And the reason is particularly because of my mother and mother-in-law, who were nurses, who were apparently being critical of what the nurses were doing.
Oh, dear.
You know, why is this being done? Why is that not being done? And I think they thought the best solution was no grandparents allowed. So that was a new policy that was specifically targeted at my mother and mother-in-law. Well, by God's grace, in response to fervent prayers, and Christopher was probably one of the most prayed-for babies in his first month, one of his kidneys later recovered some function with only half of one kidney functioning, but that was enough for him to survive. So from the doctors, no chance of survival, it came to, well, he's not going to live very long. And I particularly remember them saying, he'll never be able to get married.
Oh,
and
my.
There was, you know, my wife was distraught, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
We wept and prayed more over Christopher than all our other children combined. And Chris was regularly in and out of hospital, went through incredible amounts of antibiotics and operations in his first few years of life. And by God's grace, Lenora later donated her kidney to him in a kidney transplant. Now, I was the first in line offering, but after all a battery of tests from the kidney transplant unit, they ruled me out because my cholesterol was just a bit over the line and my blood pressure was considered just a bit too high to be an organ donor. So the next in line was my wife, Lenora, and my sister-in-law from Austria also was offering her kidney if there wasn't a good match, but Lenora was a perfect match. And Christopher overcame all odds. He became fit and healthy enough to climb mountains. And he earned his black belt.
He earned his black belt
in karate. Not just junior, but senior black belt, and then second dan in karate. And then he earned national colors. And he went overseas to represent our country.
Oh, that's wonderful.
He was involved in international events on worlds at the United States and Germany and Switzerland, and he with bronze and silver medals. So, phenomenal answer to prayer.
Beautiful. Praise God for that. Wonderful.
Of course, he was homeschooled as well. That was our policy with all of our children. And Chris experienced homeschooling from grade one already, while his older sisters had a few years in a local school before we homeschooled them. But he was homeschooled from grade one. And Chris has met this lovely Christian girl, Chrisanne, who's a graduate from Bible College, undertaken missions across the border, who's got a vision for missions for her whole life. And her whole family's up in the Transvaal, and they traveled down. And in his speech, her brother noted, it's no secret who the favorite is in their family. Said, Chrisanne's father, Kubus Myburg, he had Chrisanne's picture as a screensaver for the last 9 years. And later, the father showed, yes, Chrisanne's picture's on a screensaver. And then the brother looked around and he said, Chrisanne's wedding plainly cost more than both his and his other sister's weddings combined. I suppose that's another indicator. She's really special. So in his Father of the Bride speech, Mr. Kubus Myburg showed a whole lot of stories relating how his beautiful daughter was consistently ahead of her class, a straight-A student, excelled in hockey. And most of Chrisanne's six bridesmaids had studied at the same Bible college as Chrisanne had. And so the atmosphere at the wedding service was of really enthusiastic worship of the Lord. You could see that the bridal couple and their bridesmaids and bridegrooms were really enthusiastic, dedicated. And Chrisanne is known as an enthusiastic, dedicated Christian.
That's a beautiful.
She's obviously a very gifted organizer. And what was amazing is to see our son, who's always, you know, because he suffered so much in his early years, he grew to pathologically hate everyone in a white coat because every doctor and nurse was sticking needles in him and scalpels and extracting blood and all this. So he did not like medical people.
People in white coats he didn't like. That's funny.
And he was very, how do we put it, withdrawn. He would never want to stick out. And I think he was embarrassed by his family all being very prominent in one way or the other and outgoing. So he was the real introvert. And he just wanted to merge with the paintwork. He didn't want to stand out. Aww. And so to see him able to give a speech, it's extraordinary.
It really is. It really is. God has done a work.
It looks like the bride and groom, they really are bringing out the best in one another. And I've never seen Christopher so happy, so radiant, so outgoing. I mean, just all of us were amazed. And so both of Christopher's sisters, Andrea and Daniela, and I expressed our conviction Lenora would heartily approve of this new Mrs. Hammond. Now, in my life, there's only been two Mrs. Hammonds I've known, my mother and my wife. And so now to hear that there's another Mrs. Hammond was a bit of a shock and extraordinary, you know, to have Krizan come up to me and call me dad.
Oh, my, yeah.
I never expected that.
No.
So it was a very emotional day, but what an answer to prayer.
It is. And I don't know how you hold it together. You've been through a lot, Peter. I know that you miss your wife, something terrible, and yet here God has given you a new daughter-in-law, and Christopher is so joyful over what the Lord has given him, and we just rejoice with you. It's a wonderful story to the praise and glory of God. And to hear the testimony that God's people attended, and they were jubilant. They were worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was like a great big family gathered together. That's the way I perceive it. Peter?
I mean, I've been to quite a lot of weddings, but I don't think I've seen such a spirit of worship amongst the group, the congregation. In fact, quite unusual, they served communion for the whole reception for all the people. Now, I've seen sometimes the bride and groom celebrate communion, but
right.
I've never had it where everyone at the wedding celebrate communion. And they said they wanted their first act as husband and wife to celebrate communion with their families.
That's beautiful. I really actually prefer where the whole body of Christ, baptized members, celebrate communion together. Peter Hammond, our dear friend from South Africa. And if someone wants to look you up online, Peter, how would they go about doing that?
Yes, so I'll try and upload some pictures soon, too, on the web as soon as I get them. Of course, the people who did the professional filming, I don't know when they're going to make the picture available, but as soon as we've got it, we'll make it available. It'll be on www.frontlinemissionsa.org. Frontline Mission SA. SA short for South Africa. So frontlinemissionsa.org. And you'll be able to see our prayer and praise updates, our report backs, different mission fields and what we're involved in, Literature for Africa and all that. I'll put my son's wedding up as soon as we've got the pictures.
Oh, please do. Yes. And my wife sends her greetings. She knew that we were going to be talking today, and she says that whenever we have Peter Hammond on, she really listens and enjoys it. So you've got a fan in my wife, Peter.
Well, that's good to hear. And I must say, it seems that my daughter-in-law had a massive fan club at the wedding. It seemed almost everything they did, there were great applause and whoops and cheers and such a lot of enthusiasm, which is very healthy because my introverted son, my daughter Andrea said to Krizan, "I hope you get Christopher out of his shell." And Krizan's response was, "I don't have a shell." And they really are good for one another and being different. And, you know, our family, we very Germanic, Swiss, Austrian. We don't express emotions much. We're very quiet and withdrawn. So to see this, you know, exuberance is actually good and healthy for us.
Amen. Peter Hammond, thank you so much for joining us today, and may God bless you and keep you in his care.
Thank you so much, Dan. God bless everyone on Redeemer Broadcasting.
Our country came into being as men acted on their conviction that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, and our own happiness. This week, Jerry Wyss discusses how these liberties promote freedom of conscience, but are also circumscribed by law. The question, however, is whose law? At one time, our civil authorities saw their calling as maintaining both tables of the law, the Ten Commandments, in society. Jerry reminds us that to maintain our freedoms, we cannot be independent from the triune God of Scripture. Jerry is a frequent contributor to Holding All Things Together and is a writer for Christian Renewal magazine.
We're about to commemorate and celebrate the independence of the United States on Independence Day. The word independence is fraught with suggestibility today, but when it was first used, its meaning was quite clear. The former colonies, at first 13 states, but then the nation of the United States, insisted and fought, bled, and many died for its liberty out from under the yoke of what came to be seen as an oppressive foreign government. Now, there are many reasons for this insistence on liberty, but probably the best remembered because of its unjust nature was taxation without representation. The colonies would be arbitrarily taxed, whether to punish them or, as was more likely, for the British government to exact monies to fight its wars and pursue its policies in Europe. It wasn't why Britain taxed, although that also, of course, figured, but that it did without any of the colonies having a representative voice in Parliament that was at issue. This is rightly understood as oppressive for a free people with a legacy extending back for centuries in Britain that maintained the lawfulness of representation in two houses of Parliament as a check against royal privilege gone amok, in other words, tyranny. The U.S. Constitution establishes the rights of we the people, that is, the newly made citizens of the U.S. then, and also us today, to pursue life, liberty, and happiness, in other words, to take responsibility under God for our own well-being without the outside infringement of an overarching government telling us what we can or cannot do, say, or think. This was unheard of in the world, even in the Western world, and it's still unheard of, or if so, poorly understood or imitated, in many parts of the world today. Here, we are enabled, or certainly should be, to pursue our own course, circumscribed only by the rule of law, rather than that of dictators, a minority interest, or even majority opinion. This is highly unusual in the history of the world, and we often take it for granted. It's clear that this understanding of individual liberty and what the government can and cannot do as we pursue life and happiness under its assumption has its origins not only in Enlightenment thinking, but in biblically Christian themes of freedom. That is, freedom of conscience, freedom from wickedly oppressive overlords, and freedom from being pressed into the world's mold. Our constitutional government, moreover, is obligated to recognize this freedom. What constitutes the rule of law is more important than ever, since that's what we've all agreed should circumscribe us. That means our definitions of justice, equity, contract law, and a host of other arrangements need a baseline from which we can agree to define these terms. Historically, this has been the Word of God, the Bible, although today this baseline is at least questioned and often ignored completely. Others appeal to it but have redefined its terms. The reformers believed that magistrates had the duty to maintain both tables of the law in society, that is, all Ten Commandments. In the U.S., we have settled for the second table only, beginning with the Fifth Commandment to the Tenth, but now even parts of the second table are questioned or ignored as a baseline for societal justice and the maintenance of order. Independence out from under oppressors is a great blessing and benefit, but we cannot be independent from God. David said he would rather fall into the hands of God than into the hands of men, but he had to fall into one or the other. If we try to be independent from God, we'll just end up where we started from, under the thumb of wicked oppressors, both internal and external. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Paul wrote this to the Galatian Christians, reminding them that they are free in Christ and needn't be under any yoke other than his. That has to do with doctrine and spiritual life, of course. But in history, that's also worked itself out into our unprecedented social order, where we are free to pursue life and happiness and our own liberty to do so if it comes to that. That's something worth celebrating and fighting for.
Time once again for This Week in History. July 4th, 1776. In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, a declaration is adopted that will be formally signed August 2nd of that year. It begins, "When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation." Thus, the original 13 colonies of what would become the United States declared their intent to break from Great Britain, and their reasons for doing so. That was This Week in History, events as we recorded them, as God ordained them.
Thanks for joining us today for our program. Your comments are always welcome. Our email address is ministry@redeemerbroadcasting.org. A reminder that the views expressed are those of the participants. For Holding All Things Together, I'm Dan Elmendorf.
And I'm Cal Carter.
God willing, see you next week.